We're now recording.
Thank you. We have on the line Avery Doria, James Bladel, Big Aaron, Brandon, Jose Nazario, Rod Rasmussen, Carl Ferrer, and from staff we have Marika Koenig, Dave Piscatello, and Glenn de Saint-Jury. Have I missed anybody? Thanks, James.
Morning, everyone, or afternoon, or evening for Cal. Wanted to take a look first at the agenda that Marika provided. It was a proposed agenda yesterday, and see if that was acceptable to everyone. If so, we can immediately proceed according to that plan. So, does everyone have a copy of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first item on the agenda is to discuss the comments that we had organized in Category 1. And of those, there were two that warranted some one-on-one conversations with Dave Piscatello and Avery. And then there was a raft of issues that were investigated by myself and Joe. So why don't we get started with Dave. Did you have any updates relative to 1A, a clear distinction between legitimate reasons to have DNS records with low TTL values? And I think Mr. Atkinson was specifically speaking in the context of mobility.
Yeah, well, I did send an email to Rand. I have not heard back from him. I'll try again. I spent a lot of time looking at his comments because they're very interesting, and they're actually quite constructive, and I'm trying to formulate an email in real time here to the list. So I'll summarize what I'm going to send in the email based on my review of what he's written. Rand makes three I think important points. One is that there's a range of applications that beneficially use short TTLs that we did not discuss, and I had spoken privately to Marika, and one of the things I would suggest is that we incorporate almost verbatim part of that comment in the text about in the area of the report where we talk about the beneficial uses of short TTLs. The second comment that he made was that he had asked whether the IETF or IAB had been invited to review, and this is somewhat problematic, but I think easily addressed. And the reason why it's problematic is because there's no sort of single entity that we would contact in the IETF to ask for a review. So one way to approach this would be to try to find every working group in the IETF that might have an interest in DNS and TTLs and positive applications, which is a lot of work. The second would be to formulate a short message to the IAB chair and say, we've published this as an interim report. We received some comments from parties suggesting that we contact you to determine whether or not there's interest in the IETF, and simply throw it over the wall to them. And the third way to do this is to simply respond that the public comment period is open for everyone to comment, including IETF, and it's and leave it at that. So I'm willing to do the groundwork on all three of those. I just will put them on the floor for the moment.
This is Albert. Can I add one thing?
Go ahead, Al.
And perhaps I missed it when I was switching from mute to unmute, but on your first option, the one of contacting all working groups, I think going to one or two of the area directors would probably be a sufficient shortcut to that. And I don't even know that you'd have to send them the document, but merely a note saying there is this document with the URL recommendation and an invitation. But of course, then there'd have to be a willingness to say when, by, and hold off reconsideration until you got that.
Yeah, we could actually contact the area directors. One question I had in my mind was how many areas this affects. Of course, it's smaller than the number of working groups, so it does scale the problem down.
Right,
but that's a good point.
Yeah, probably the security is definitely one. And
I don't know where mobile applications lie or mobile IP lies in the current structure, but I can find that out from Patrick Falstrom or from Gus Housley or someone that I know on the IETF.
I can look at it on the web and tell you in a second.
Hi, this is Greg. So if we went out and asked questions, what question would we be asking or what area would we ask them to investigate?
It's not a matter of asking questions, Greg. What Ron asked to do was to just determine whether the IETF, anyone in the IETF had the opportunity to review it. I think he was just curious, whether we came in from left field and ignored the IETF more so than some concern that there were other people in the IETF who would object to what we wrote.
Okay. If you're interested, I'd point you to some notes I wrote for registry constituencies feedback about use of low TTLs. Basically, the ability to use low TTLs is written into the basic RF. And
excuse me, Greg, can I interrupt you for just a moment? There's some background activity. I don't know if it's typing or something like that. If we could ask that if everyone could mute their lines when they're not speaking, that would be helpful. I'm having a difficult time hearing Greg. I don't know if I'm alone on that.
You are not alone on that.
Thanks. Go ahead, Greg.
And it was low TTLs were designed to allow services that require frequent updates. Mobility is certainly one of those because you and your phone are moving around. I see in my TLD blogs using low TTLs because they're updated frequently, and services like Twitter probably are as well. So I think if we're asking people like the IETF questions, it seems like the question we'd be asking them is, do they want to change the RFPs and not allow people to use low TTLs? I'm pretty sure that, my own feeling is they'd come back and say, no, we can't limit TTLs.
I don't think that that's really the goal of inviting comment. I would not be asking them questions about, is there a need to go and reconsider TTLs. I think that what Ram had wanted to do, and I'll try to confirm when I get in touch with him, was that he simply wanted other people in the IETF to know that the document existed and to have the opportunity to review it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And so what I think Aubrey's suggestion is actually probably the most straightforward one, and if Aubrey can send me the area directors and the group agrees, I'll just add those to the people that I contact when I contact Rand.
Yeah, I was just looking at that, and it would probably end up three or four, and with two area directors per, it still ends up a big list. It may, to further go on it, it may be worth just sending it to Russ as chair.
Okay. Well, if you'll just send me the email that you believe is most appropriate,
okay.
I'll forward something, indicating, that we received a comment from an IETF member asking whether the IETF was aware of the document and would want to comment.
Yeah, and just going to Russ would probably be good. Okay. Great.
And this is Marika. Should we add a deadline with that email, or first await a response and then indicate that we are on a timeline in trying to wrap up this report? I'm not very familiar with the IETF, so I don't know how quickly they could turn around and say, oh, well, we're seeing this and this, or we're fine with what you're saying, or thank you very much for sending us the document.
Sorry, we both did back off. It might be worth just asking, if he could let you know when and if they'd have a chance to look at it. And then we could figure that into what we needed to do.
There's two outcomes that could happen here. One is that since the IETF is actually individual experts, we could get a very large number of comments from individuals. The second is that there would be at least one, if not more, working groups or areas that might want to compose a formal response. I imagine that what would happen in the time frame that we might be able to process is that we get more individual comments and less organized comments. So I think we just need to factor that in terms of what our expectation is about completing the document.
Are
you still typing?
The typing sound has returned, so we could just issue the reminder for mute.
I mean, the other possibility, and this is going beyond this, is that we include going to these experts for further comment and review in the next step.
That's a good idea. I like that. In other words, send the final report to them, and along with some of the to help them
have a whole lot of
the recommendations.
We're not going to have a whole lot of definitive do this stuff. We basically seem to have a set of recommendations of ways to proceed, and one of the ways to proceed is to get more in-depth knowledge on various subjects. I don't know. It's one possibility.
Okay. So those are the various approaches to addressing
there is
the
question. Mobility Directorate, by the way. And that might be the place to direct it, IETF Mobility Directorate. I'll shut up now.
Okay. So, Dave, do you want to take the action to reach out to the mobility director of the IETF and make them aware of this report and see if they would like to comment on it in a reasonable time frame?
Yeah, I'll formulate a an email that I will send, and I'll just post it for approval on the list. So.
Okay, fantastic. Returning to the bulk of the comment 1A, were there any other points that you wanted to address?
Well, as I said, he makes some very good points about the beneficial uses of the short TTLs, and my suggestion is that we, I take the comments that he has and formulate an addition to the to the existing and appropriate section, and I'll just post that on the email list. I had intended to do that by today, but it was just that things were too busy to actually accomplish that. But I'll do that if people believe that's an appropriate action.
I think we would welcome that. Anyone else thoughts or? Okay.
Then there was one other point that he made that I think is worth discussing, and that is that he and several others have made the observation that we didn't sufficiently distinguish fast flux attacks from beneficial uses of techniques in fast that are generally lumped under the term fast flux. And I think this is this actually turns out to be kind of an artifact of the way that the document evolved, and the fact that when we finally developed the taxonomy in the working group, where we had been able, we talked about beneficial uses and fast flux attacks, the bridge between that and the questions that were originally formulated and given to the given to the working group isn't tight enough. And so somewhere I think in the document we might want to say that while we've developed this taxonomy within the working group and we believe it is much more accurately representative of the way that the world ought to view the distinction between fast flux and volatile networking adaptive techniques, we chose to retain the original formulation of the questions as presented by counsel in the document, because that was our remit. And hopefully if we can word that appropriately enough before we start to answer the questions, it will allow people to say, okay, while this does say fast flux, what they're talking about here are the beneficial uses of techniques that have been usurped by attackers, not technically a fast flux attack.
Okay, I think that some variation of what you just articulated there would probably be an appropriate inclusion. Marika, what do you think? Were you able to capture some of Dave's language there, and maybe we can submit that to the list as a possible inclusion as well as an appropriate insertion point?
I'll write that as well, just because it's unfair for Marika to try to transcribe what I say in real time, and I'm fairly eager to get rid of that blurred distinction and try to get people on the course of saying fast flux equals criminal, short TTLs and beneficial uses of TTLs and other network adaptive techniques isn't necessarily criminal.
That would be excellent, Dave.
Okay.
Okay, so does that cover the points? It's fairly insightful and comprehensive comment from Mr. Atkinson. Are we ready to move on to the next group, which is 1B through G and I? And is Joe on the line? Sorry, I don't have the meeting view, so I'm doing this the old-fashioned way. Joe and I were not able to connect this week, so I just went ahead and looked through these comments somewhat unilaterally, so I don't want to give anyone the impression that we agreed on these. But in my assessment, 1B, C, D, G, and I are fairly well addressed or captured within page 17 and 18 in the report, and possibly in other areas which describe the possible legitimate uses of fast flux and or short TTLs. There were a couple of points that I was able to pull out of this set of comments that I thought were not addressed, and maybe wanted to put those in front of the group for discussion and see if they warranted any other additional language, or if we wanted to delve into these issues a little bit further. I'll start off with comment 1E, which was from, I'm probably not going to pronounce the last name correctly, but David Grifrida. And in this, the commenter mentioned something kind of interesting, which is proposing a mechanism to evaluate in real time the status of any fluxing domains and then have some sort of, some sort of a centralized mechanism to determine whether or not it's a quote-unquote good fast-fluxing domain or a legitimate fast-fluxing domain versus an illegitimate fast-fluxing domain. So I don't know if we've covered that anywhere in the report, but I thought that was an interesting proposal. Any thoughts from the group?
James Merger, this is a clarification. You mean to consider that as a potential solution or...
consider that as a possible recommendation
to address it.
The possible recommendation for future first step, future next step in the final report, that we capture this idea for a fast flux alert system, if you will, and at least make sure that part of his comment is captured in our final report. But I don't want to recommend that if I'm the only one that feels that that's not addressed in existing language.
I don't think, this is Jose from Arbor, I don't think that that's necessarily an appropriate role for ICANN to be, to be honest with you. I like the Knight Rider theme cell phone ringtone, by the way. I think that that's, you know, something that might be valuable for anybody trying to do domain name takedowns or determining, you know, do I remediate this through takedown or not? But I don't necessarily see that as being a reasonable role for ICANN here. I think that there's room for third parties to do that.
That's a good point, and should point out that the commenter didn't necessarily specify ICANN, but it's possible that that would be implied if it were in our report. So I agree with you. That's outside of the role of ICANN, but it maybe it has merit as a third party or an industry tool.
Yeah, but with that come a whole host of other questions and issues, including, for example, the history, the historical use, the current use. If it's 99% benign and 1% abused, you know, is that different than 100% abused? Is that different than 100% abused now when it was benign in the past? What constitutes malicious activity? All those kinds of questions are simply far outside the scope, I think, of this report. And having an external consensus on that, so there's not one person making these sort of arbitrary decisions that, I don't like this guy's watch, shop, but I do like this guy's tool shop. I think it's going to be key, but I think it's far outside the scope of this document, that sort of criteria and qualification.
Okay. Thoughts, agreements, anyone?
This is Rod. I think that there are actually registrars and registries already doing this as far as looking, and obviously security vendors. I think within the scope were some at least recommendations of best practices, so we might want to couch it that way. I thought we actually have this part of this in the document as well, but I think there is some room for at least mentioning this in a kind of a best practices kind of a methodology.
This is Cal. The registrars did actually discuss an informal network of early warning and warning dialogue, nothing formal, but and we have informally participated in that already. We did discuss that as part of our off-list ideas, but it never really continued to something that would be in the document. So there is scope, I suppose, to include some recommendation. But I think where it all got sticky was, again, in the definitions and how formal it should be, how it should be policed and that sort of thing. And in an informal setting, we felt comfortable that we could use our common sense, and we were only dealing with registrars that we trusted and could reliably say that if they were warning us of something, then we knew that they were warning us of someone malicious, not someone they didn't like. When it starts to expand and you start to not have that trust, and that's when it starts to become required to be policed a little bit, and that's where things got sticky.
So perhaps including language in the document that states that, you know, registrars are already trying to apply some sound criteria for screening these things, but that's probably dealt with in another document, but that's an ongoing process as well.
Okay, would it be limited to registrars, or could we
include registrars and registries, I guess.
Okay, so just a brief mention, perhaps, that registries and registrars are engaged to some degree in this as part of their best practices in monitoring and sharing information with each other relative to fast flux for possible review and investigation and further action to see if further action is warranted.
Yeah, I think both for sharing between, but also just as part of their own anti-fraud measures. I know that, at least at the registrar level, there's a couple of registrars looking at fast flux domains and responding with their, you know, with their fraud teams.
Okay. Moving to question or comment 1F, which I also felt was fairly well addressed. However, there was the third paragraph where the commenter describes, talk about out of scope, and we're talking about country code activities. And I think that they raise an interesting point here that the registrar is, by law, unable to take down a fluxing domain without permission from a judge or, I'm assuming, other appropriate authorities, and saying that the registrar should be granted more freedom to act against fast flux domains. I wanted to see if folks felt that this was this limitation on how much action a registrar or possibly a registry, once a fast flux domain is detected, if we really discussed any external limitations on what they can or cannot do, and whether this is coming from ICANN. I probably don't want to go down the path of country code discussions because those policies are numerous and there's not a whole lot of commonality. So I just wanted to point that out as another area that might merit some additional language in our final report, unless the team thinks it's covered. So thoughts on that? Anyone think that the report sufficiently covers this and we don't need to delve into that area? Okay.
I thought that the report was respectfully deferential to the various requirements for each of the registries and their obligations under the law, whether it be they need law enforcement to say, yep, this can go, or they can do it on their own. I don't know. I thought we were clear about that.
Okay. With regard to question G and I, comment G and I felt that those were fairly well addressed with the within the existing within the existing language of the report. That brings us to item 1H, and Aubrey, I think you posted a message to the list earlier.
Yeah, I did. I don't know if that was enough. I didn't bother to get in touch with Casey on it, although I actually have exchanged a couple messages with her about some other stuff. But I read through it, and it seemed fairly clear, and it seems, and she really seems to almost be making a second-order point that, you know, from looking at the other comments, a lot of people are saying, hey, wait a second, it probably is possible to differentiate the bad from the good usage, at least to a very large extent, and perhaps, you know, more work should be done on that, on getting that differentiation done. As I say, while I consider myself technical, I do not consider myself technically competent in this area, so I'm not making my own judgment on that, but sort of trusting, you know, her judgment, and one of the things that perhaps we could sort of strengthen is, again, in the future activities of basically getting some of these organizations like CAIDA and like you all that already have technical organizations that are working on this stuff to actually look into a bit more of the how one differentiates. The other issue she made, though, is, and so what if you differentiate unless you've got a set of policies and actions that can do something once you differentiate? And then that, you know, there's the question mark, is it ICANN's business to do that? It's certainly not this group's role at the moment to figure out if it's ICANN's job to do that, but it might be within keeping and posing questions to be looked at by the larger community to ask that question. If it were possible to actually differentiate with a low rate of false positives and a low rate of false negatives, if it were possible to do that, what should be done about it, and who should be doing that? As I say, it's not a question for this group to get into, as far as I can tell, but it certainly doesn't seem a bad question to have passed on. And we kind of allude to it a couple times, but I don't think we ever, you know, put it point blank in that way, but maybe I don't remember, or maybe I missed when I was skimming looking for stuff. But I didn't reread the report to try and answer my question. I sort of went on recall and a fast skim. So my view of her comment and how to deal with it was basically to look towards our future actions and see whether we can't strengthen / add a few things. And personally, I think getting somebody like CAIDA who, you know, does more measurement of more different things in the net than I know of elsewhere, and as I say, it's not my area, involved could be a really good thing.
Okay, thank you, Audrey. I'm wondering if it would be beneficial to maybe as a group reach out to the original commenter and ask if they would be willing to put together a few possible recommendations or ideas on how to differentiate, or how they're proposing to differentiate on a technical level, and then we can revisit those as a group and determine whether or not we should we've captured them with the existing language, or as you said, that we kind of dance around it, but we need to address it more explicitly.
I mean, I could certainly reach out and send her an email saying, you know, how do you propose we do this? I mean, I can't even put it more politely than that, but...
I think Marika and I could probably take that, just because I think we're already overburdening everyone here with takeaways.
No problem.
And that way we can reference the comment as it was received and anyway, we can take that. Jumping into number two, and I'm just trying to keep an eye on the clock here. We have about 20 more minutes of our allotted time, so I wanted to jump into category number two, which we had a healthy discussion last call, and it seemed that everyone was in agreement that this is an issue that is very interesting and very intriguing and was not addressed at all in our report. So rather than you know, diving back into the substance of Woody's comment here, I'd rather talk about how we can best incorporate this into the final report so that we capture his ideas and his concerns relative to this issue and the digital divide, and we do so faithfully. And maybe the only way to do so faithfully is to just take his report, his comment verbatim, and add that as a as an addendum or an appendix. I'm fine with that as well. But I just wanted to put that out on the floor for discussion. Not the issue itself, but much more of how do we draw a box around this idea and get it reflected in our final report.
This is Marika. Would it be appropriate to incorporate this in the section on who's harmed by FastFlux or who's impacted and mention there that it, you know, has an impact on the digital divide?
I thought about that as well, Marika, and my only concern with that, and I think that's the most appropriate place, body of the report, my only concern there is that we would want to make sure that we properly attributed this to the commenter and not necessarily give the implication that it was part of our deliberations. So if we can do that sufficiently in that section, then I think that's the most appropriate place for it.
I'm happy to make a suggestion there on how to incorporate it and circulate that on the list. I think in previous reports we've been able to do that as well and just refer to someone or identifying the individual who has suggested this as part of the public comments, that this is an area that should be considered as well in relation to this question. So I'm happy to provide a draft there.
Okay, and just very briefly, does anyone on the call today feel strongly that this is this doesn't belong, that this idea is out of scope, or does anyone feel strongly oppose the idea that we capture this comment in its entirety and work that into that section as Marika has pointed out? Okay, I'll take the silence that we all think that he's really onto a good idea here. The next item on the agenda, and it looks like we have about 15 minutes remaining, is that I noticed that, I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead. I'd like to deviate from what was sent out a little bit and find some assignments or volunteers for Category 3 and Category 4. And because Category 4 is much larger, perhaps we can look for a duo or a team of folks to tackle that category. I'm just concerned that we need to, and this is just my opinion, I know we need to do give this issue and this report the attention it deserves, and and those folks who took the trouble and the great ideas that they've encompassed in their comments. But I want to make sure that we're also moving forward at a relatively aggressive pace with the idea that we can have something to present to council at or before Sydney. So just looking at the calendar there, I'd like to find some volunteers for Category 3, Category 4, and if anyone has a really burning interest in the two questions in Category 5, then I think that we could be open for that as well. Anyone? Going for any of those categories. Is there any remaining categories that someone feels particularly appropriate to address, either because of their familiarity with the commenter or some experience in the issue as it's being raised, and would like to toss their hat in the ring and take away some of this action and bring it back to the group for our next call? I must be the least persuasive chair you've ever experienced, Avery.
It takes a while to do.
Okay.
But sooner or later, they'll volunteer. Just because.
Okay.
So, James? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Rod. The issues here are something that actually I've been talking to other people about, but my schedule is just brutal at the moment. I mean, I'd love to talk about some of this stuff, so if somebody else is willing to lead it, I will be one of the people on the team, but I can't drive it. There's a half volunteer for you.
Why don't you just make it that whoever's phone rings during a teleconference gets the action item for that we're currently discussing.
I like the idea, Dave. I wonder if MeetingView could tell us that.
Well, ironically, Dave, that was my phone ringing in the background. So I know
your phone.
It was probably you calling me, too.
That's an interesting attack vector. I like that.
Well, if I could do a little bit of salesmanship here, I think that there are a couple of short categories here, and I don't think that we're asking folks to, for more than just an hour or so. I mean, Rod, I completely empathize, and I think that if I put my to-do list between now and Sydney up on the screen, it would probably look like everyone else's. But also want to have in the long term, over the horizon, I want to have fast flux meetings at some point in the next 3 months not be a part of my calendar. So I'm just working towards that goal. So I will go ahead and I will volunteer for section 3. And then perhaps if we can get one other person to raise their hand and work with Rod on section 4, then I think that that's pretty healthy for the next call.
Oh, I'll work with Rod on that. It's like I spend half my life with him anyway.
Thank you very much. So we have myself on section 3 and the odd couple on section 4. And if anyone has any interest on the definition issue on Section 5, I know that sounds like revisiting some very lengthy and robust discussions that we've had in the past, but just trying to make sure that we keep this moving forward and that we have some measurable progress week to week and call to call. Another approach might be, and I'll put this out for discussion, is that if we are going to tackle fewer categories in between calls, that we increase the frequency of the calls to weekly rather than biweekly. Imagine how well that's going to go.
Well, it will put on some pressure on people to get stuff done, I guess.
It might, but that's a good point. I was just thinking that if we could get more of the work going offline and have these biweekly calls more of a regroup and a bringing back to the or reconvening of the various components of work, that we could progress on the schedule a little bit more aggressively. So I'll take number 3. We have Rod and Dave on number 4, and we'll leave number 5 for the next call.
And James, what I can do as well, I'll write up the action items from this call, and I can include in that, a call for volunteers for other sections or joining, one of the ones I have volunteered for the other items to join that, because as we have, several people are not on the call, maybe that's a way as well to get others involved.
Thank you, Marika. That would be great. And if you could also mention that, if we don't have to take these necessarily in sequence, if items... Category 5, the definition, if folks are having flashbacks to that trauma earlier on in the process and they'd rather jump onto item number 6 or 7, then that would be fine as well. The next thing I wanted to address real quickly was the, I noticed in some of the sections, and I'm going to try and pull up the draft report here. And if I'm working off a version that's not current, then maybe this will be a very short conversation. But Marika, I was looking at section, I believe it's section 8 and section 9, and I'm trying to get to that quickly here. They seem to be somewhat placeholder sections or stubs where we deferred any sort of language until we received some additional input in the form of comments. Do you know, does that sound familiar?
pulling it up as well. I think you're talking about the possible next steps, especially, you know? Is that correct?
Just a moment while I get there.
And interim conclusions, I guess, there as well, as you say interim.
Yeah, there's a paragraph or two where we really it verbally kind of deferred any response or work to something that I think that needs to be fleshed out before we would continue or consider this report.
I'm happy as well for the next meeting, because we do need to as well update some of the other sections, of course, to reflect the public comments and the fact that, you know, this is now a final report. I'm happy as well to then highlight those sections that the group will need to have a closer look at, going forward, where we refer to indeed, we need to review this following public comments, or where we say interim and things like that. So I'm happy to take that on and take that as an action item.
That would be fantastic. And I think that the text that indicates that we're in one of those sections says something to the effect of this question is deferred until the next round of constituency statements and public comments. If we don't necessarily find a good comment or category of comments that will help us flesh out those areas, then we need to address exactly how we want to flesh those out, because I think those are placeholders and probably should be changed before we move forward.
Okay, I'm happy to do that and send that around for the next call.
In the remaining few minutes, I just wanted to open up the floor for anyone that had any additional items they wanted to get onto our agenda for next time, or if they have any suggestions or recommendations on what we can do to keep this process moving forward and keep folks engaged and make everyone excited and enthusiastic about coming back every other Wednesday, which may be a tall order.
Just a question here as well, like, are we now talking about having a call next week or in 2 weeks' time, or that's still open for discussion as well?
It seemed that there was the idea that we should go for 2 weeks' time, but I guess that would probably depend on whether we can get any response to additional sections on the list. Thoughts from the group? Yeah, Marika, let's hold off on that at this time. If we don't have any additional volunteers for the open categories on the list, let's say by the end of this week, then we try to get a call scheduled for next Wednesday. A couple of extra...
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir, Dave.
One of the things that we were discussing recently is trying to understand how to be efficient with teleconferences, and it seems that if we set a rule in the working group that that if the chairman doesn't see evidence of actions being completed, we don't have the next call. Then we're driven by people actually doing work as opposed to an obligation to attend a teleconference. And so I'm perfectly happy to have a call next week if we can all get some work done, but just going over a list and saying we haven't finished, we all haven't finished what we promised, it probably isn't very efficient.
I'd like to bring up a problem with that methodology. For many of us, myself included, having a meeting is a forcing function. In other words, I had an assignment due for today's meeting, so at 2:00 in the night last night, I finally finished it because I had an assignment due. If meetings are unpleasant and a way to avoid meetings is to not do my homework, well then, what incentive do any of us have to ever do any of the work?
Well, I guess I never thought of it that way.
We could get paid for doing it.
Okay, well, I mean, that's a legitimate perspective.
And I think that you raise a good point, Dave. However, we, and I know you're aware of this, is that this This working group kind of went into a bit of a stasis for a little while, and I think that, you know, we couldn't achieve a quorum on the calls, and there wasn't a whole lot of action on the list. And so, you know, part of my throwing my hat in the ring to get involved in a bigger way was to try and kind of keep it moving and keep it and bring it to an orderly and successful resolution as quickly as possible. So I am trying to use the stick of more meetings and more calls to encourage additional homework, really with the idea of just getting this off of everyone's calendar here in the next 3 to 4 months. But I appreciate what you're saying. I just trying to think of creative ways that we can do this without shortchanging any of the commenters or the final report.
So where does that leave us?
We
have a call next week in principle, and that no one does their homework. Oh, or maybe we shouldn't say that. So we have a call next week then.
Let's have a call next week, unless we can pick up a couple of other these categories on the list, and if we can do that, then we won't need a call then until the following.
I mean, one thing I have seen successful for people that want to avoid meetings is that the meeting is scheduled unless all the topics have been resolved before the meeting, and then you can cancel the meeting. And so that's one way to encourage using the list and doing things asynchronously in your own time comfort or own comfortable time so that you don't have to deal with a meeting. And so you can have a meeting contingent on not having finished our work.
It's a good idea, Avery, and I think we should do that, Marika, where we just schedule the call for next Wednesday. And if we're able to come to some sort of a consensus on the list, that we've completed Section 3, Section 4, and possibly started to delve into one of the other sections, then we can cancel that call.
Okay, great.
With that, it looks like we're just a minute shy of the hour, so I wanted to thank everyone and appreciate everyone who took away items from last week and who will be taking items away for this week, and let's see some healthy activity on the list, and otherwise, if there are no other concerns, we can adjourn for today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.